Well, if you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be reading today verses 10 on down through verse 14. Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. Okay, so we'll start in verse 10 if you want to follow along as I read. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, I know there's more armor to put on, but we don't have time to cover it all today. And I've heard messages on this, I've preached messages on this, but the Lord was just convicting my heart, saying, you know what, can the average Christian put on the spiritual armor? You know, we spend so much time talking about how the Romans armor, what it was like, what it looked like, what it was talking about. But we need to practically be able to put on our spiritual armor. And so I said, okay, Lord, if you open this up to me and make it clear, we'll just go ahead and present this in a easy, down-to-earth, practical way that we can apply your spiritual armor. Is God's Word meant to be confusing? Is God's Word difficult to understand or hard to use? No, God's kept it simple. And, you know, there's a reason for that. He wants us to be able to use it. And so with that in mind, we talked last week about the first part of the armor. But there's some things I just want to review real quickly. First of all, we realize that the armor of God is essential for every Christian believer. It's essential in our daily walk. I mean, the spiritual walk that we have to walk is just plain too difficult to navigate on our own. Have you ever seen someone trying to deal with all of life problems on their own? What happens? We fall apart. You just can't do it. And so we realize that we can't do it in our own strength. Now, I have to say that many Christians have adopted the philosophy, and we say, why pray when you can worry? Right? Now, you said, no, Pastor, that's supposed to be why worry when you can pray. I know what it's supposed to be, but we all worry, and then we pray. There's no need to worry. We have the Lord, and He already has a plan. Did you know that? Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He knows what's going on. He's got a plan. And so with that in mind, just want you to realize that we need God's strength. We can't do it on our own. And we get that strength, and He says, that is in God's armor. We also learned from the preceding verses we just read that the armor must be put on daily. You know, can you imagine a soldier going out into a battle and he decides, well, today I don't think I need my bulletproof vest. You know, and that gun I carried, you know, my rifle yesterday was so heavy, and I didn't use it all day long, so I'm just going to carry my sidearm, and that should be good enough. You know, would you consider that a wise soldier or a foolish soldier? That's a foolish soldier. So God has told us that He wants us to put on our armor daily. And so when you get up in the morning to spend some time with God, and we're going to talk about the pieces of armor that you need to put on, and but it needs to be done daily. It's not automatic. And thirdly, it is your responsibility to put your armor on. Now, that seems so basic, but it's not someone else's responsibility. It's yours. If it doesn't get put on, who's to blame? Only yourself. Fourthly, all, capital A-L-L, underline, all the armor is necessary. And fifthly, we need to realize that it is a spiritual battle we fight and not a physical battle. Now, what's so important about that? Well, the typical thing for a person to do, or what we would call the human thing to do, would be when things get tough to blame others. You ever notice that? Or blame something else. But you know what? That's not, people and circumstances are not the problem. The heart of the problem is the wiles of the devil. Now, what are the wiles? Do we talk about that very much? You know, the devil sure is wily. Now, you remember years ago, my dad used to have these little cartoon books. I don't know if you guys have ever seen them or not, but in there we had the Roadrunner and Wile E. the Coyote. Now, Wile E. the Coyote was always buying stuff from the Acme company, trying to catch the Roadrunner. But it would always backfire on who? On on the coyote. His wiles, his tricks to capture the roadrunner didn't work. Well, you know what? If you are equipped with the full armor of God, all the tricks that the devil tries to throw won't work. But if we don't put the armor on, then we're susceptible to the craftiness and to the deception of him. And so don't blame the people. Look to the heart of the problem. And lastly, don't be fooled into believing that the victory is not attainable. You know what the devil wants you to believe? He wants you to believe, oh, you can go to God, and you should. And this is a very hard situation, but you know what? I don't think God can handle this one. And you're going like, well, I know God can handle it. Well, of course God can't. But in your case, he probably won't. You know, God only does that for, you know, special people. God is all powerful. God can work miracles. But for you, nah. You know what? That's a lie. The victory, God says, is already won for every believer. So don't let the devil confuse you and fool you into thinking that you need to run. Because you know what? The armor that he has for you is meant to take a stand, not to run. When you're running, you're not protected. So don't let the devil fool you into thinking that you've lost. Remember, the psychological warfare that he will play upon you. So those were the things that we saw about the importance of the armor. Then we saw that the first piece of armor was to be girt about with truth. So let's bring this down to where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. All right? Being a mechanic by trade, we'll just go ahead and talk cars for a minute. All right? It doesn't do any good if you don't have any tires on your car. Right? And it doesn't do any good to race if you have the wrong kind of tires. So we need to be equipped. So let's just think about this from the armor standpoint. What was the first piece of armor? Well, he says, be girt about with truth. To be girt means to be wrapped around your midsection. All right? And so we could call this a belt. I looked up the word even more this week, and it talked about a girth. Now, we wear a belt around ourselves for many different reasons. You know, maybe to hold your clothes in place. Some people may wear it for looks. A bodybuilder would wear what kind of a belt? Or someone working in a warehouse, they would wear a wide belt that's supportive. That supports your back and some things like that. So with that in mind, that's what they would wear. They had a wide belt that was used to hold the pieces of armor in place as well as to give support to the soldier and also to carry his sword or his weaponry. And remember, they would wear robes at that time, and so they would need to lift the length up and they would tuck it up and into their belt so that they could run and that they would be free and they wouldn't trip up. So here's some things that I drew in personal applications. The belt keeps everything in place. And remember, it supports the soldier. So if we have, by the way, I just skipped an important part. What is truth? If I'm to put on this armor of truth, what is truth? We saw last week in our study that the truth is the Word of God. God's Word is truth. Remember, Pilate asked Jesus, he said, hey, what's truth? You know, he'd been in the legal system. He had authority, but he realized there's a lot of corruption in authority. He said, so what's truth? Can you imagine how cynical Pilate would have been, you know, at this time? But Jesus is truth. His word is truth. All right, so if I stay in the Word of God, if I know the Word of God, and I keep that in my heart, here's some things it does. It supports me. It gives me comfort, peace, and stability. It provides proper information for proper decision making. You know, how many times have you worried about making the right choice? Well, if I know God's Word, it gives me the guidelines to make the right choice. Going on, it provides stabilizing truth and keeps me from falling to pieces. Now, I thought about that this week even more. And what are some things that we might find stabilizing that would keep us from falling to pieces in God's Word? Well, I put down here, often we can know the reason why. Now, not always. But many times the Bible tells us why we're going through what we're going through. Now, if you know why, doesn't that make things a lot easier for you? It sure does. I'm the kind of person that wants to know why. I know some people do things just because it's the thing to do or someone tells them to. But I'm a mechanic, and so I like to know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't just change parts. I want to know what's broke so that I can fix it, right? And so I want to know why. So the Bible tells us many times why, but not always. And so if God doesn't tell us why, where else can I find peace in the Word of God or in His truth? I can also find peace in the fact that knowing that God is in control. How many of you know Romans 8:28? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Did you realize He said He had a purpose for you there in that verse? He's got a plan. Isn't that neat? And thirdly, I can also find comfort in God's Word because it foretells the outcome of my choices. Isn't that neat? I can tell, before I do something, what the outcome is going to be. I don't have to live my life by trial and error. Now, I've had to live a lot of my, in my business world, when I had my own business, sometimes I tried things to see how it would work. And sometimes it was a flop. Sometimes I lost money. Have you farmers ever tried something that didn't work out? Have you ever made an investment, ranchers, on something that didn't work out? Ladies, have you ever made something, or you know, in your home, and it didn't work out? One thing I find such confidence is if God says to do it, it's going to work out. Even if it doesn't make sense in the humanistic mind point, I know that it's going to work out. So the first point of this whole thing is God's Word is truth. And truth is what I need to have inside of me if I'm going to be victorious. I need to be supported with that truth. That truth will keep me from tripping up. And the Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In North Dakota, when it's dark, it's usually dark, unless you got a full moon, right? You ever go walking out to take care of the cattle at night? Maybe to check on the calves or whatever. What happens when the old rechargeable battery doesn't? That's frustrating, isn't it? You know, what might you do that you shouldn't do? Or what might you walk into that you shouldn't walk into? The other day I was walking in my shop, and I realized my age is catching up with me or something. I don't see as well as I used to. And I had the old jack. I had a floor jack, and I'd had the front of the car raised up, and I had the handle for the floor jack sticking out. It's white, right? Safety. And so I'm walking along, and I had forgot that I had the jack in front of the car, and I went running around the front of the car at a high rate of speed, and guess what happened? I hooked it right about the mid-shins, and there was no recovery. I mean, we were trying to find something to grab onto, but there wasn't anything till boom. Well, what was the problem? I should have had more light. I didn't have light on the subject. And you know what? In our Christian walk, so many Christians find themselves in trouble or hurting or devastated in their daily life because they didn't know God's Word and they didn't protect themselves from the danger ahead. So God's Word lightens my way and it keeps me from tripping up. It keeps me from sin. Remember, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. And so we're going to follow God's Word. So that's what He's talking about, truth. Can all of us trust God? Yes, we can. Do we? But when you put on the armor of truth, you're saying, God, whatever you say, I'll believe it. And I'll act upon that. Now, acting upon it brings us to the second piece of armor. And what is the second piece of armor? Let's look at verse 14 here again. It says, Stand, therefore. So as a soldier, I'm standing against the opposition in the wiles of the devil. And how will I do that? Having my loins girt about with truth, and having on, here's the second piece, the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? I looked up that word. You'll find out that Pastor Pepley looks up a lot of words. I want to make sure my vocabulary is correct. And I'm not mistaking what God's trying to say. So what does righteousness mean? Well, that's acts that are morally right and ethical. Now, how do I know what's morally right and ethical? Well, this person over here told me that I need to do this. But this person over here tells me, no, that's wrong. I should be doing this. So how do I know what I should be doing? Now, here's the dilemma again that I find in this world, that without God, there is no moral absolutes. We don't know what's right or wrong because it's all subjective. You ever heard of those words before? But you know what? If I have the armor of truth, I now know what the right thing to do is. And so righteousness is acting upon what? The truth. Isn't that neat how those two pieces of armor come in together? They're in the same verse. They're put there together. But I think a lot of people overlook it. You know, here's something every Christian can do. I can get up and say, Lord, I'm going to get into Your Word today, and I want to know Your truth. I'm going to study it, memorize it, and meditate on it. What's meditating on God's Word mean? It means I'm going to concentrate on it through the day and apply it to my life. So I know the truth. I get that with me. And then when I go out and make decisions, I act upon it. I know this is the right thing to do, so I'm going to do it. I better move along here with my notes or we won't get done. Here's something that I noticed in my Bible study. God says that this. God says everyone feels that they are right. Have you ever met anybody that went around and said, you know I'm wrong. I just like being wrong. I like the trouble that being wrong gets me into. I like the heartache that being wrong brings in my life. I just like being wrong. I love being a loser. You know what? You probably will find someone that would say that, but they're lying. Because nobody wants to be a loser. Nobody wants to fail. Nobody wants to fall. But yet, everybody thinks that they're doing the right thing. But I just want you to know, everyone is doing what they think is right for them, but not everybody's righteous. And we're to put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. All right, so let me show you a couple of verses. Proverbs 21, verse 2. And I'm going to have to do this quickly, so turn there if you can. If you don't make it, that's fine. Try beat the pastor. Okay, Proverbs 21, verse 2 says this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. It just says there, you know what? We all think that we're pretty good. And we are making great decisions. Oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Have you ever noticed that kids don't have to be taught that? You're starting to help them do something. Maybe they're 1.5. You know, my kids started the terrible twos at 1.5. Just for those parents of those that have the kids starting early. And have you ever went to help them? They go, I can do it. One of the worst things is when they do their own shoe knots. Because that's what it ends up being, right? And then, Dad, help me with this. Whoa, okay. And so you work to get the knot out. Why? They can do it themselves. You know what? I'm doing it. That's what they're thinking. I can do this. I can do it right. And you know, we can laugh at them, but yet we do the same thing in our everyday walk. And that's what putting on righteousness is about. It's saying, God says to do it this way, I'm going to do it His way, instead of doing it my own way. Now, another thing that I've learned that the Bible says is that He wants you to seek where your heart really is. In Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So here God is saying, like, if you think you know it all, you're in trouble. But if you turn to the truth of God's word and get His counsel, then you're going to be successful. And I think that's great to realize, isn't it? And that's what He's saying. Put on righteousness. The last one is it possible to feel right and yet be wrong? Oh, Pastor, now you're meddling. Well, I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 16. No, that's not. Proverbs 16, verse 25. They call that dyslexic. All right. Proverbs 16, 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Can I challenge you to seek God's word, the truth, to see if what you believe lines up with what's true? Could someone believe with all of their mind something that was wrong? We do it all the time. We sure do. But the most serious thing to do would be to try to find your own way to heaven. If I thought I could get there by being good or by doing certain works. Because what did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so he's trying to say, you know what? You can think everything's fine, but you need to go back to the truth so that you know you're acting properly. You're acting upon what real truth is. You see, we all feel we're okay. So it's not a matter of you only go to God when you feel like you don't know. You go to God all the time. You go to His word, to His truth, and you put on this righteousness. A Christian soldier knows what is righteous because he knows what is true. And so, his heart, his bowels, or his vitals are protected by the breastplate of righteousness, which is held in its proper place by truth. Truth supports righteousness, which, by the way, is godly living. So if I'm going to live righteously, I'm going to live godly. Another word in the Bible for that is virtue. You ever see where it says virtue? The first thing a Christian can do, no matter how young of a Christian he can do the right thing as far as he knows what's right. So if God has shown you one thing, what can you do? Do it. If He's shown you many things over the years, what do? Do them. And so truth and righteousness go hand in hand. So here's some little things I wrote down real quick. It is always right to do right. Wasn't that profound? But how many times do we question it? We're going like, should I really do this? Was it the right thing? Yeah. Well, then what are you asking for? But we do that. Okay, so it's always right to do right. Here's another one. It's never right to do wrong. Again, that seems profound, but don't we struggle with that one too? All right, here's a third one. If it's not right, it's wrong. You're like, oh, you mean it's not great? No. If it's not right, it's wrong. All right. So, boy, those were three very simple statements that were very powerful. So apply those to your life because that's important for your armor of truth and righteous, right living. All right. Okay. Now, here's the fourth thing. You realize it's a choice to act upon truth and not upon feelings? Because I have found out in America, and now Americans aren't different than anywhere else in the world, but it just seems like we have so many things. And we kind of have a philosophy right now in this age we're in right now is that you have to feel good. You know, the restaurants advertise, have it your way, right? And everything is customer-oriented and everyone's got to feel good. It's a feely thing. But you know what? If you base your life upon feelings, you're going to be up and down and roller coaster. I need to base my life upon truth, upon fact. And then I need to act upon that fact. And then let the emotions come where they need to instead of living off my emotions. And that is what's so important about this armor. But it's a choice. Because I can either choose to act off of my feelings or choose to act off the truth. And people do make that choice every day. So which one did you choose? All right, which one do you want to choose? Okay, let's just do that. Because you know what? All of us sometimes act upon emotion. You know, how many of you kids ever get into a spat with your siblings? All of you kids here just always get along so well, don't you? When I was growing up, I had four sisters and a brother. And, you know, they were always so perfect. At least they thought. But I was the one that was really perfect. Are you with me on this one? Mrs. Stedman's in the back looking at me like, I know you when you were little. So I'm in trouble here. So anyway, now I lost my whole train of thought. Oh, my ears are red. Okay, but anyway, you know what? We get into arguments with others, and we feel that we're always right. And, you know, if they do something to us, I have to get even. Right? I am justified in doing this. I feel my rights have been violated, and I have to do something about it. After all, as I get to adult, I say this. I can't let people walk all over me. What did Jesus do when he was reviled? He didn't revile back, did he? Jesus had a whole different philosophy, and it's based upon love, but it's based upon his truth. So I act not upon my emotions, but upon the truth. And you know what? You're going to have a much stabler life than anybody around you. And you know what? A Christian's life, the Bible says, is not up and down, but it's even keeled. And when people look at you, there's a difference. And you know why? It's because you have the truth and you're acting upon that instead of upon your feelings. Because you know what? We feel up and down. I have days where I wish I could just stay in bed, you know? You know, honey, I don't want to go to church today. Nobody likes me there. You know, it's just a bad day. Oh, you have to. You're the pastor, right? I want to be in God's house. I want to be with God's people. But you know what? Sometimes we just don't feel like we should feel. I know it's the right thing to do, so guess what I do? I'm here, and you know what? I'm glad I came. That's just the way it is. The emotions come along, so let's follow right. All right, that was a very good truth to apply to our lives. This is one, it's so simple, but yet so important in a even-keeled, successful walk. So, now here's a couple more things that are very profound, right? Acting upon truth makes you right. Okay? If my facts are straight and I base my actions upon that, I'm going to be right. And then this one, acting in faith makes me righteous. I can do the right thing and not necessarily be righteous, but when I act upon faith, now I'm righteous because I'm doing what God wants me to do. Isn't that special? So now let's move along. A Christian soldier must obey the truth and reject the lie of the lion. And this is a very neat passage of Scripture, and I'm going to take you to some examples here. But in 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this. It says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Remember, I've told you about the illustration, or I illustrated what I saw on one of those wildlife videos where a wildebeest had just been born, a baby wildebeest, and there was a bunch of, I think it was hyenas, I don't remember the situation, and they were trying to get the baby. And, of course, as much as the mother wildebeest could try to protect it, there was just too many hyenas. It got separated from his mother, and it was running for its life. It wasn't doing too well, and it ran straight into a lion. The lion stood there, and, of course, what do you think the hyenas did? They stopped instantly. And on one video, they cut it there, and they said, "See how the lion protects the wildebeest." Here's what the devil does. He says, "Life is terrible. Come here, I'll take care of it." He may throw something out there. It looks like he's got everything handled. He drives off the threat. But the lion was holding that wildebeest. And you know what? It wasn't holding it to comfort it. It was protecting its lunch. Lunch came by. He just got some fast food and he wasn't going to get rid of it. The devil is a roaring lion. He's up to seeking whom he may devour. There was nothing pretty about that picture. That's why it was cut. In other videos, we see the true result. The devil wants to cut the picture right there and say, "I'm your friend. Follow here. There's all kinds of benefits and fun in the world, but I want you to know what he wants to do. He wants to devour you." So you need to go back to the truth of God's Word, and find out what he's really like. And don't fall for the lie of the lion. He wants to destroy you. He seeks to attack your vitals. He wants you to be destroyed. He wants you to have the wrong gut instincts. Now, why am I using those words? Because, you know, that breastplate protects your heart. Out of your heart are the issues of life. It protects your vitals and your bowels. In other words, your gut instincts, your emotions, your feelings. He wants to attack all that. And we need the truth to keep all of that stuff in the right place and keep it protected. And so that's why we act upon the truth, and not upon the deceit of the devil. You see how this spiritual armor is very practical and it's not so confusing anymore? It's an everyday thing. We can just bring it down to our daily walk. So moving along here, that was example number one. Let me give you example number two. If you went to 1 Kings chapter 13, now you have to know your Bible to get all of these because I don't have time to read them all. But anyway, here in this passage of 1 Kings 13 verses 1 through 26, we see a special story here about a man of God. Doesn't tell me his name. That's interesting. But you know what? If you're a man of God, it doesn't matter your name. What matters? God. I want God to get the glory. If you don't remember who I am, I don't care. If you remember what I taught from God's Word, that's what's important. All right? And I want you to know it as God's Word and not the Word of Pastor Pepley or the preacher. So what's the story here? Here comes a man of God, and he comes up here to this man named Jeroboam. And Jeroboam here is a king that God has put over the 10 tribes of Israel. And the problem was he didn't trust God after that. God gave him the kingdoms, but he's afraid they were going to go back to Jerusalem and go back under King Rehoboam. So he put up some false gods, some golden calves for them to worship. And he put them in two different spots, one in Samaria, one in this other place. And so he built an altar, and he even sets up a special day to worship. It wasn't the day that God set to worship. Isn't that interesting? He made his own religion. There he is at the altar. He is the king, and God says the man of God to rebuke him. So how would you like to be this man of God? You go tell the king he's wrong. He said to God, "I don't feel like it." Would he have done the right thing? No, he said, God says to do it, so that's the right thing to do. I'm going to go do it. He put on his armor. He went in there, and he came up to the king, and the king's on his special day. He's standing before his altar. He's offering the sacrifice. Now, who's offering the sacrifices at that time? Only the priests. He's doing it. He's offering the sacrifice. The man of God comes up to him. If you read the passage here, he says, he speaks to the altar. Let me see if I can find it real quick. 1 Kings 13:1. "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, 'O altar, altar.'" Now, that's weird. He's talking to an altar. But he said, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name." Now, here proves the word of God. He is announcing ahead of time people's names and aren't even there yet. "But Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense unto thee, and men's bones shall burn shall he be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. So he curses this altar. He says, you're going to have men's bones burned upon you by a king, a godly king named Josiah. And how do we know it's going to happen? You're going to split open and your ashes are going to pour out. Now Jeroboam the king, when he hears all of this, he says, who gave you the right to come in here, so to speak? Now, he didn't say those words, but he turned and he pointed at the man of God and he says, seize that man. And when he did, the Bible says his hand dried up right there. Kind of like it dehydrated just instantly. He couldn't pull it back. He couldn't do anything. It's like, can you imagine the kids? This is real. He couldn't bring his arm back. And he's going like, what am I going to do? He says, man of God, pray that my arm will come back. Now, as soon as he did that, the altar ripped open, and guess what happened? The ashes poured out just like God said they would. And he couldn't get his arm. He says, man of God, would you pray that my hand would be healed? So, man of God prayed, and it was like before. The king says, oh, come over to my house. I'm going to reward you. What did the man of God say? No, it's the wrong thing to do. God told me not to stay with anybody. He told me to come, give this message, and to leave. I'm leaving. I don't need your rewards. I don't need your approval. I have God's approval. I live by His truth, not by anybody else's truth. That man was powerful. That man of God was bold. And so he leaves. He's done what God had told him to do. And you know what? Many times after we face a major battle like that and we succeed, the devil comes and gets us with a minor issue. So he's walking on his way home, and some kids come home. There's some other people there, and they went home and they told their dad, which was a man of God. He said, hey, there was a man of God there, and he cursed the altar, and it ripped open, and the King Jeroboam's arm dried up right there, and then he restored it, and he says, where is he? He said, he's gone home. He said, well, go get him. I've got to go get him, quick. And he runs up to this. So this old man of God catches up to this guy who's just prophesied, and it's in the will of God, and he says, come to my house. He said, oh, no. God told me to go straight home. I'm not supposed to come to your house. He says, oh, God spoke to me and told you to come. Would a man of God lie? He did. So what do you do? Depend on some man's word or depend on God's truth? You see how serious this is? You might have a man tell you that this is what God said, but you need to see what God said. And praise the Lord, we have a Bible. We have it written down. We can go back and look. We don't have to just listen to some man. Now, I try to preach the truth 100%, but I still want you to check it out in Scripture so that you know it's true. And so he said, well, I can't go wrong. A man of God, right? He's an old man of God. So he went back with him. He's sitting there eating the meal with the older man of God, and the old man of God says, oh, I have a prophecy to make, or a revelation from God, a message to give. What is it? You should have went home like God told you. Because you came here, you're not going to make it home. Because you disobey God, your life's going to be taken. And you're going like, what? That's not fair. I just want you to realize this, that the devil's not fair. And he's going to send men out in disguise as the men of God. And even they may be a godly person giving you poor counsel. So make sure that it's the truth of the Word of God. So, the man leaves, and on his way home, the Bible says he's met by a lion, and his life is taken. When the old prophet comes and finds his body, he gets word, he goes, gets it. He said, yep, that's the man of God who didn't follow the command of the Lord. I'm going like, how can he say that? Because people know that when, even if you're deceived or not, when you go against the truth of God's Word, that the consequences are to follow. And I just want you to realize that people will deceive you, and it always hurts. I put this, acting upon error is deadly, no matter the source. So what do I act upon? Put on your armor daily and get the truth. And then act upon the truth of God's Word and nothing else. And you'll be safe. You see, the devil's going to send people in your life. I had here an example number 3, David versus Solomon. David followed God all of his life. Did he make mistakes and sin? Yes, he did, but he repented and he turned back to the truth. When he was confronted with truth, he acted upon it. He repented. But Solomon, he started out in truth and he asked God for wisdom and God blessed him. And what did he end up in? In Ecclesiastes, it says he tried all that the world had to offer. Somewhere in his mind, he said, there's got to be more. This world stuff, it sounds so exciting. Let me check it out. You know how many young people went to check out the things of this world and never came back? You can look at Jacob's family. He had a daughter who went in to check out the world to see what the world had. Destroyed her life. You know, it's just full of it. So I'm challenging you to follow the Lord. Actually, God is on His spiritual armor. The last one is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a perfect example. Remember when He was in the wilderness? He was tempted of the devil. Remember? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three things the devil's going to try to get you with. How did Jesus deal with them? He quoted Scripture. He said, this is the truth. Devil, this sounds good, but it's a lie. How do I know it's a lie? Because I have the truth. And you know what I'm acting upon? The truth. So therefore, I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to be protected. My life is going to be safe. My spiritual life is going to be secure because I know the truth and I put on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, I'm determined to act upon right instead of upon emotion. Isn't this a powerful message? It's so simple, but it's so profound. I guarantee you, young people, you choose this today, your life will be victorious and successful in your spiritual walk. You say, how do you know? Because I'm old, right? They joke about that. You're 50-something, you're old. I joined the old club. But you know what? That's exciting to me because now I can say, I know. I've seen it. When I lived and did the things the world wanted me to do and the devil wanted me to do, it cost me. When I followed truth, I've been victorious. So it comes down to this in conclusion. Make the choice. Make the choice. Wear the breastplate. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, and I know I'm getting right at the... got to shut the message down, but I got this verse here that you just got to know. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 says this, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. He's mentioning this breastplate again, faith and love. Remember, righteousness is acting in faith. And the other thing that keeps us acting properly is love. So, those are the two things that I need to do for my breastplate of righteousness. I have the truth, and I act upon them in faith and in love. Didn't Jesus act in love? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. My friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He can fill that void in your life. He can give you purpose to live for. You know, each of us is born with a Christ-shaped hole in our heart. We need that. We try everything to fill it, but there's only one fill, and that's trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christian, if you receive Christ as your Savior, now let's live in truth and in righteousness. First two pieces of armor, something we all can do, learn the truth, and then act upon it. Very simple, very profound, but it'll change your life. Let's go ahead and close an invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, will you come today and just speak with Him here at the altar?